Matthew 11 is where we're headed this morning. Matthew 11. My hope rests. My hope rests in God's presence. My hope rests in God's presence. We've been talking about three basic two-word phrases. Two or three word phrases. God knows. God is present. God is working. And we've been finding them, and we will continue to find them all through all of these passages that we have been working through, and also here in Matthew 11. I'm going to read and start right in verse 25. Matthew 11. It's the very first book in the New Testament, for those of you who are new to the Bible. So we go to the New Testament. If you go to Malachi, come on back one more. Mark, Luke, go back. All right, Matthew 11. And let's start in verse 25. And it says this: At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden those things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's pray. God, this is your word. It is your breath. May your spirit help us to hear and see you today. Use your word and its truth to take us a little deeper. Give us more to hang on to as we seek to live for you. You do your work in us. In Jesus' name, amen. The earlier context of these verses, if we go just up at verse 20, you will find a couple different things. First of all, the beginning of the chapter is a little bit of information about John the Baptist and his question to Jesus, Jesus' response. And then here in verse 20, it says this: He began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works have been done. Look at this phrase: because they did not repent. So this earlier context, Jesus is rebuking the religious leaders for their misleading and misguiding those who would follow them, and the cities that had refused to repent. Even after Jesus had been there and done amazing, miraculous works, because they thought things should be done their way. Man, that preaches. We could just stop right there. Now he's going to begin this paragraph by thanking God that he had seen fit to reveal himself to those who would believe, which he refers to as children. Then he also says that Jesus and the Father know each other. Those who would know either of them could do so because Jesus chooses to reveal himself and the Father to them. So the context here in this verse is about repentance. It's not just warm fuzzies. Right, love this verse. Don't get me wrong. Verse 28, come to me all who labor are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Absolutely, he's going to give you rest. But it's not about warm fuzzies, just to make you feel good, like the people in the back sitting by that fire. He's got serious business here. And anytime we're talking about Jesus and God and what he wants for us, it's serious business. Sometimes I think it's just another thing. It's the thing. Jesus is calling his listeners to repentance, to find rest for their souls from the pursuit of righteous living by fulfilling all the religious mandates. Sometimes people try to get Jesus by living right. The living right is the result of having Jesus. It's not the way to get Jesus. Okay? But even those of us, and especially those of us who have been saved for a long time, tend to end up thinking that the righteous living is a way for me to get closer. That's not. I can't treat life like some of you who have children, or when I was a child, you know, you draw or color in the picture for your parents, and you finish and you hand them the picture, hoping they're going to hang it on the refrigerator. This is how some of us treat our lives. God, I'm working really hard. I'm staying in the lines. I'm using different colors. Do you like it? Here it is. Hang it on your fridge. That's not what he's wanting to do with us. So Jesus is calling us to repentance, to find rest. He knows that these people simply, he knows that you, he knows that I simply need him, not more rules. Now, let me just stop here and say this. This is a tricky balance. Because I do think there are things that are two do's and two don'ts. Okay, so I'm not saying everyone has free license. That is not where I'm headed. But the point of the two don'ts and the two do's is not to make me more righteous. There's no other way, no other place, no other person from whom you can find rest than Jesus. And it is Jesus who invites you to come. Come. All right, so let's talk it through. Let me say this one other thing. Two things. First of all, in the original language, this wording, the way it's put together, is not a command, by the way. It's an invitation. He's not dragging you, get over here. He's not going to do that. He'll discipline you to get our attention and to correct us and to instruct us, absolutely. But he's not going to drag you kicking and screaming, no, Jesus, I don't want to go. It's an invitation. Jesus says, come. Come. To too often we have invited Jesus to be a part of our hot mess rather than coming to him to find rest. Too often, I'll say it again. Too often we have invited Jesus to be a part of our hot mess rather than going to him to find rest. So, four reasons why come to his presence. In this passage, I'm going to talk about four reasons. I'm sure they're not the only four, but hey, we do have to send you home at some point today. Why come to his presence? Number one, because Jesus is inviting you. His presence is inviting. The invitation is clear. Come. It's not a command. It's an invitation. So I see a lot of you taking notes, right? Right where you're at, right there in your notes. Write down five words that describe your current situation, not necessarily the people you're sitting with, right? But in your life right now, write down five descriptors. Go ahead. Five. Well, I can only come up with four, then write four, for heaven's sakes. And I'm sure in a group this size, we'll have all kinds of words, across the continuum. Some of you, as I've talked with you, right, you have come here intentionally to find that rest, whatever that rest is defined as in your vocabulary. So maybe some of you use words like weary, tired, overworked, burned out, worried, anxious. Maybe some of you are joyful, happy, and then you remember you're going home to dirty dishes and laundry. Forget that. Scratch, scratch, scratch. Maybe some of you would say busy, concerned, lonely. Maybe you're in the best place of your life. It could be anything, right? All the way across. And in this size of a group, absolutely could be in the entire spectrum. But no matter your situation, the invitation is open to all. You do not need to fix yourself first. In fact, that's why Jesus is inviting you. But this is what we do in real life. Sherry, come on, we got to go. Okay, hold on. I just got to do this. I'm almost ready. One more thing. I forgot. Come back. I forgot. Invariably, I forget things all the time. So when I go to class, I'm sure the people that are in my hallway think I go to class out of my office to go to my classroom. I've got all my stuff, I think. And I get to the classroom. Oh, forgot this. I'm sure the people in my hallway go, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Jesus is not asking you to fix where you're at right now. And the word all, come to me all, is for all of us, everyone, no matter who you are, no matter your situation, no matter what you think about your situation. Jesus is available. He is not busy. You don't have to stand in line to wait for him. You don't have to wait for him to Google your answer or figure out the best way or watch the YouTube how-to. There's no hoop to jump through, no special red tape, no waiting line. He's not inviting you to condemn you, arms folded. He Seriously? You did that again? All right, come on. I'm just going to tell you the same thing I told you before. Now, why would we think that of Jesus? Because that's how we treat other people. But Jesus is no other people. He is God, as he says very clearly here. He and the Father, he's the one who's showing us what God is like. He's revealing it to those who would listen. He's available, but he's not forcing us. He's inviting us. This was potentially very difficult for this audience to hear. I don't think we give enough understanding or credit. You know, we all have maybe different situations. Maybe it's your church, maybe it's your family, maybe it's your friends, whatever, where this is just how we do it. This is the way we've always done it. Maybe it's your family at holidays. So at Thanksgiving, and someone suggests, hey, let's have hot dogs at Thanksgiving. What? We always have turkey. You know that. Okay, really a kind of a simple illustration, but for these people, this was their life. They'd heard it taught completely different. This is how you get to God. This is how you know God. This is how God honors. This is who God honors. Follow us. We're the leaders. That was their structure. This was their mentality. This is what they knew to be true at the time. And then Jesus shows up and says something completely different. It's no wonder it was difficult to grab onto. So you might have this idea, this is what I should be doing. And then you're reading and the Spirit shows you something and you think, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not how I do it. And the Spirit says, no, that's how I do it. Jesus doesn't give any specifics of how their issues are going to be handled, which also would be very difficult for us. He just simply invites them to come with the promise that they'll be cared for, that you will be cared for. I like details. I'm a detail person. I want to know how it's going to be done. How long will it take? What do I need to do in that? And who else is going to be included? When are we leaving? When will we get back? What's the plan? What should I expect? He doesn't say any of that. Verse 28, come. And that's it. Join me. That's it. Oh, I mean, think about it. Why would you join him? Because it's him. Some of you might have some friends, and you're like, I don't care. You might say, I don't care what they're doing. I just want to go with them. I want to be with them. Okay. There's something here about Jesus, right? Because of that difference, and it was God himself, but there was something compelling about him. And so there should be something compelling about him now. Something that draws us even in the morning or whenever you sit quietly with God's word. Something drawing you, I need it. I need him. Not because I have to. Though, I will say, there are days sometimes when you do it when you don't feel like it. Okay. You do all kinds of things when you don't feel like it. Like brushing your teeth. I hope you do that. And somehow, spiritually, well, I just don't feel like it. Okay, we'll just not do it today then. Why are we neglecting the deepest, most important part of us? He simply invites us to come. All right, so practically, three things. Let's just, you know, I like to give us something practical. Put some handle holds on it. Practically, what might that look like? Well, I would say, first of all, find something physically. We mentioned this in the last, whenever I did it. Yesterday, sometime. We talked about having something physical to help a connection. So if you're coming to him, come. Connect it somehow. In your praying, whether it's folding your hands or getting on your knees or try a new posture. Get outside and go for a walk and pray. I've never done that before. Maybe some of you would say, all right, do it. But come, connect something physically to it. Second thing I would suggest is to be all there. When you come, you know, there's that phrase, wherever you are, be all there. But too many times when in the spiritual realm, too many times when I'm coming to the word, I've got three other things going on in my mind. My phone is buzzing and, oh, I better look at that. Oh, no, well, come, be all there. And there's a couple ways we could look at this. One, we could say, well, I should be all there because obviously that's honoring Jesus. Yes, absolutely. But I want you to understand also, you need that. You need to be all there. So don't get distracted. Jesus wants the real me. The real me. Find a way to focus. So that's one, two. Third thing, stop playing grown up. When you are talking, when you come, when you are in Jesus' presence, when you are in God's presence and you're allowing the Spirit to do his work, stop acting as though you have it all under control. God knows you are far from it. I don't have to have all the right answers. I don't have to say things all the right ways. It's not going to happen. Sometimes I don't even have words. But the Spirit does. All right, so the first reason I come is because Jesus is inviting me. I'm going to answer the invitation. You know, it's important to RSVP. I've only been to a wedding once where I thought I had RSVP'd. So embarrassing. it was one of my former players, so fortunately I knew her, I knew her family, and they had planned for people like me. Evidently, I did find it on my desk under a stack. Later, I just put it off. Jesus is inviting you. Maybe somebody needs to hear this. He's not just calling to you, but that call is an invitation. Second thing, come because of who he is. Come because it is God's rest. Come. Come because our burdens are not simple. They are not relieved by simplistic platitudes like, cheer up, things are bound to turn around. But a simple promise can relieve a complex burden, provided we believe that the power behind the promise is complex and strong enough to relieve our heaviness. That's written by John Bloom, who writes for Desiring God Ministries. We have talked a lot this weekend about who God is. So I want to take just a few minutes and look at this passage and look at who God is. And in case I haven't convinced you yet why knowing who God is important, your theology, which means study of who God is, your theology, so you can go home and use a big word. We got deep this weekend. Your theology drives and determines your actions. Who you believe God is will determine what you do. Notice what Jesus says about himself. He says, I will, I am, I have. I will give you rest. I am gentle and humble in heart. I have. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So in this passage, here are a few observations I would make about who God is. Some theology. First of all, God calls, asks, or invites followers to come. God himself, awesome God, creator of the universe, the person who wired you, invites you and me as we are to come. Just let that sink in. Second, God gives rest. Where do I find rest? Where does my soul find it? It's God who gives it. Nothing you can do, it's God who gives it. Thirdly, God teaches. I'm just making simple observations here. And maybe they sound, well, okay, yeah. But that God is helping, and in Jesus saying this, that God is helping people understand, and he says, I will give you rest. I will help you learn. I will teach you. Learn from me. He is gentle. He is humble. That should help me and encourage me and compel me to come. I know that when I fall, when I sin, when I need rest, when I have been trying to do it on my own, I know I can come to him without the look, without the arms crossed. and the condemning look. I know I can come. Why? Because he is gentle and humble. His work is not burdensome. I'm just picking out some things here. This is truth that should help me, compel me to keep coming. Last thing I want to point out is that God desires us to work. You're yoked to him. He's not saying, hey, come and get a vacation here. I'll take care of everything. You just do nothing. That is what we would love. Some of you are super over the top busy. So you come away on a weekend like this to get away from some of that. Absolutely. Love it. Great idea. Perfect. True rest for life is not just a break from the to-dos. It's not just stepping away from laundry. True rest is found in my soul, and it's found in Jesus. And it involves work. I'm going to talk more about that in a little bit, and I don't want to run ahead of myself, so let's keep going. Okay, first of all, we come, first reason, because Jesus is inviting. Secondly, because it's Jesus who's inviting and who he is, who God, it's God's rest. Third thing, the third reason I would come is because I'm needy. Come to me, Jesus says, all, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn. Look, the first implication here is if he's calling us to come to something else, that means what I'm doing right now is not working. There's an implication that there needs to be a change. Jesus knew what these people were doing and what they were being told, and he's saying, that's not the right way. Come to me. I will give you rest. You're working so hard to do righteousness, to find acceptance from God, and that is not the right way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's inviting them to give up what they had always been doing and to come and find the rest they need. And again, just a reminder, when we talk about rest, the rest we're talking about is a soul rest, relief from having to meet the standards to please people or to please myself, to have to be sure everything is cared for, to get my plan in place, to work it out. Jesus says, rest. He's talking here about repentance. Not just, hey, let's try something else. Let's be clear and reminder, the context here is repentance. So he's not just saying, hey, I know you've been doing that. Like you go to someone and they throw you a couple suggestions. Hey, you should maybe try this. Like some of us treat our diets and how we eat. Hey, you should try adding this or take this away. Jesus is not saying, hey, try also adding this. He's saying, oh no, you need to turn from that and come this direction. That's me. Because they both can't happen at the same time. They're mutually exclusive. You can't do this the way you are living and add Jesus. The only way to know Jesus, to have a relationship with him, is to repent of doing things my way. And to join him and learn from him, which, by the way, I can't do if I'm not humble and admitting that I'm needy and that I can't do it. Remember yesterday we talked about not just saying, hey, I need help with this in our mentality culturally of help. I'm trying. I just need you to get me over the edge. Jesus says, come to me and know for sure that I can care for you and whatever concerns you. Know that I have purpose for you and I am always with you. I am working out my plan for you, in you, and through you. You can be confident in that. There's no need to worry. I am here and I am able. God is calling you first to relationship with him. And we've said a few times this weekend that if you don't have that relationship, and I'm going to say it again, you need it. Without Jesus, you will spend forever in hell alone. And if you think you've had Jesus because you followed the rules, that is not it. God is also calling to those who do have a relationship. He's calling to us to repent of our prideful ways of living, as though I don't need the gospel. Every day I need the gospel. We have a relationship with him, and sometimes we think, that's it, we're good. But Jesus is calling to us. He's calling us to a life that's much more than that. He's calling us to himself. Stop trying to do life and solve my own problems to meet the standards. Stop judging myself and even others. Jesus simply wants you to join him in the yoke. A yoke is meant for work. You get that. Perhaps some of us today need to repent and to turn back. Jesus knows you. He knows what you are doing, what you have been told, and what you believe. He knows what you have seen and heard, and he is calling to you today to come to him to find rest, the rest that your soul needs. So the fourth reason, why come? Because there is work to be done. I come to Jesus not just to feel better. I come because there's work to be done. Jesus' invitation is one of promise. Come, I have something for you. I have something for us to do. He's not saying, hey, stop your vacation and you're relaxing and get over here and get to work. He's saying, I have something to do and I want to use you. I want you to come with me. Jesus' yoke is good. This word means that it is easy. The word means it is suitable. It is good. It is manageable. It's exactly what he wants for you. Our first work is to know him. Know his passion. Know his heart. And along with that is for us to repent of our autonomy. For us to repent of us wanting to do us. Me wanting to do me. God calls me away from the work of trying to be enough. Of trying to earn grace. He calls me to him, to his plan, to his way. I see God's presence in God's invitation. Also see his presence in the picture of the yoke. There is something to be done, and he knows what it is. He will lead. It implies that yoke implies that God is here with us. He's not asking us to just go someplace and he'll be here if you need him. Just give him a call. Text him. He'll be there when he can. He's not going to set you up and then leave you on your own. Okay, I think she's good now. My first job was at a dry cleaner's. And so I had to learn. I would help people. I would take in people's clothes. And part of my job then was to go through all the pockets, which was pretty gross. Go through the pockets, and if anything's in the pocket, you take it out and throw it out. Unless, of course, it's money, then you have to give it back to them. Just like any job, I would come, they show me what to do, they would stand there, then they let me do it a little bit, then a little bit more by myself. Eventually, I was left there at the place, at the dry cleaner, by myself on the shift. And that was my work. Humanly, that's what we expect, right? What, you don't trust me? You won't leave me here alone? I can do this. That's not God's way. He's not looking to set you up to go on your own. He wants you to come in his yoke to be with him. He'll go and we go with. Always come. My yoke is easy. It's manageable. It's appropriate. Now, sometimes we say, excuse me, you don't know what's going on in my life right now, and this is not manageable. Okay, I get it. And it might not feel it. But evidently, this is what God has. If indeed you are submitting and walking with him in his yoke. But if we just go and do our own thing, then, okay, you know, part of that may be because you've just added a bunch of things. That's why he says, take my yoke, not the yoke of Christianity. Be with me. He's got it. One other thing. Being yoked is optional. It is not automatic. Why else would Jesus say, take my yoke? He would have worded it differently if it were automatic. God is calling us, inviting us to find rest in Him. Will you RSVP today? Will you come and learn of Him and follow Jesus today? In this last session, I want to give us a little bit of time to think through and process a little bit, just to kind of exhale before y'all leave. So I want to give us a couple opportunities, and the first thing I want to invite you to do is to pray. Maybe the Spirit has been speaking in your spirit and helping you see something. Maybe God has said and pointed and touched on something in your conversations as you're walking, maybe on the hike yesterday, maybe sitting around the fire or at lunch or whatever. God knows you're here. He brought you here. Not just to enjoy the beauty, though part of it, yes. But I want to invite you to spend some time personally in prayer.